Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Well, there's that phrase, isn't there? Putting your head above the parapet. From the days when battles were fought from turrets. Looking out to see what the enemy was doing was a risky business. You might get an arrow in your head. Nowadays, it just means to do or say something that could be unpopular, but it's worth the risk. Politicians used to do it. They'd float policy ideas. Some people used to call it kite flying, gauging reaction, debating, discussing, making their point. Now, they avoid being challenged and hide behind a different kind of parapet. It's called a paywall. Chalmers done it in the Times again. There's no point in me linking to it because it's paywalled. And he's talking about how the NHS must be transformed. And it's another one of these unchallenged fanboy interviews. He said three things. He wants to do a shift away from hospital towards community care, more evening and weekend working, and stopping people getting sick in the first place. Well, let's have a look at that. Overtime and extended working. Well, the NHS is already doing it, just like they did in 2000. Waiting list initiatives, and I linked to the 2000 experience. It's quite interesting to have a look and see what they did then and now. It cost the absolute earth in those days. Today, evening and weekend working has screwed NHS England's budget, and the DH want to rein it all back. And the growth in queue numbers indicates a much wider capacity issue. And this won't be resolved without a sustained investment. That'll take time, plus a resolution, of course, on the strikes. It's not a quick fix. Demanding overtime working is not a sustainable HR policy. Obliging people to do extra encourages bullying, and institutionalizing overtime is not value for money. People getting sick in the first place. Stop it. That was another one of Starmer's ideas. Stop people getting sick in the first place. And yes, it's a good idea, but unfortunately, it's nothing to do with the NHS. The World Health Organization tells us that about 60% of people pitching up in healthcare systems have symptoms that are correlated in some way to lifestyle. The environment, jobs, education, income, sleep, sexual behavior, exercise, housing, substance misuse, diet, social status, they all play a part. But the NHS can't fix any of that. Not that it hasn't tried. Back in 2016, we had the Making Every Contact Count initiative, encouraging staff to have, quote, health messaging conversations with the patients they come into contact with. Well, nothing much happened. This was all kind of pointed out in 2010 in the Marmot review. And in that review, he suggested that prevention should be shared across the NHS, local authorities, communities, and individuals. Fine, but I can't point to much that came of it. It's a shame because for a relatively small investment in staff training, embedding health messages into conversations seemed easy. NICE produced guidelines, and I linked to them, and Health Education, remember them? Health Education England. They came up with a toolkit, and I linked to that. And the NHS ran, I don't know, smoking cessation clinics and what have you. The Fire Brigade did well. They gave away and fitted smoke alarms, which has saved a lot of aggravation for a lot of people. But housing authorities still rented out substandard buildings, damp and mouldy, and still do. 0 hours contracts, the gig economy, the social determinants of health, all ignored by policymakers, and none of it could be changed by a conversation with a community nurse. So what happened? Well, it fizzled out. Not enough training, not enough time, not enough headroom, not enough enthusiasm. The NHS does not have the space to fix what politics can't fix: poverty, education, opportunity, and hope. Moving care into the community is Chalmers' other big idea. Actually, he's pinched it from the NHS five-year forward view document, and I linked to it. It's on page 29 onwards. Have a look. And that was published 10 years ago. Now, it would be wrong to say nothing happened, but in the main, there's not much to show. Why? Well, because consultants who are pivotal in all this can't be in two places at once. Very few surgeries have the capacity and staff and no room for diagnostic kit. investing in digital first would be a much better idea, but there you go. Why else? Well, carving services and their revenues out of trust's top line and giving the money to primary care to run them leaves boards trying to run a piece of Swiss cheese, because hospitals use cross-subsidy from services that are high volume and income generating, like hips and knees and all the rest of it, to pay for rarer, low volume activity, such as ophthalmic services for people with rare eye disease. And similarly, imaging and diagnostic services must be in place for A&E, but income generate through the day-to-day work on electives. And there's scant evidence that shifting care saves money. As far back as 2017, the Nuffield Foundation produced a paper that I linked to this morning, and they said, and I quote, "Schemes that deliver healthcare closer to home largely fail to save the NHS money." They reviewed 44 local plans and deduced, and I quote, "They will struggle to reduce overall numbers of patients requiring hospital treatment unless they're given additional money and staff to develop new services." Well, there's precious little of that around at the moment. And there is the fact that between September 2009 and December 22, the number of community and district nurses has fallen by, are you ready for this, 50%, nearly half. Now, I have no idea who advises Charmer. Serving up a cold plate of leftover ideas doesn't do it for me. I can only assume that whoever it is, they've no sense of history, can't read, and don't have enough brains to ask why, if all this is such a good idea, aren't we doing it already? Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again real soon. Bye-bye now.